Hey, how's it going, everybody? We're back with another edition of the Ad Podcast. And super excited today to have Amy Tunick on the show. A lot of times I'm talking to my guests for the first time, or maybe we've done a pre-call, but I've had the pleasure of working with Amy, gosh, I want to say, don't date us, but maybe 7 or 8 years now at this point, since you were a gray for sure.
I was going to go further back than that.
I love it. Well, Amy is a super exciting guest. She is currently the Chief Marketing Officer of National Cinema Media, which is a media company that focuses in delivering branded content experiences and advertising for Fortune 5000 companies and ad agencies, and really allowing marketers and advertisers to get in front of the cinema-going audience. So I'm super excited to talk to her because she's been a big evangelist of branded content and how you get in front of advertisers, or get in front of audiences rather, in a non-interruptive way. So I'm really excited to talk to her about how she's changing the game over at NCM and really with their pre-movie show, Newbie. So Amy, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. And I'm going to say it's National Cinemedia.
Cinemedia. Okay. Thank you for the correction. Yeah, that's, sure. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Well, maybe we can start with just going through a little bit of your background and your resume. You know, I think audiences are always excited to see, to understand, you know, how a CMO reaches their current position and kind of some of the milestones. So you want to walk us through maybe not everything, but some of the highlights in your resume that kind of led you to your current role.
Sure. I like to say I went from the mailroom to Mad Men to the newsroom to the movies. So I started my career in the entertainment marketing industry at the William Morris Agency. Now that's part of Endeavor. And I kind of was pushing a mail cart and absorbing everything there was to know about the talent and literary agency world. And that was kind of the bug that I had to stay in entertainment as closely as I could. But I also wanted to be in marketing. And so I shifted over. And as you said, I spent a very long time at Gray Global Group, the ad agency. There I ran a department called Gray Activation, PR, and Talent. So we were kind of the non-traditional integrated marketing, very pop culture driven little group that was all about, you know, how we could put brands into action with people, places, partners. We did a lot of talent deals and experiential marketing and strategic partnerships and promotions and kind of all the stuff that was seen as below the line, but ultimately now is sort of integrated into most brand campaigns. And I was there for about 15 years. I won a lot of Cannes Lions and I did a lot of really, really interesting projects. And some of the highlights included working with Canon cameras and the National Park Service and on a lot of gun control work and doing tons of celebrity talent deals. But after 15 years, I said, it's time to get out of the agency world. And I pivoted over to media. I joined CNN, that was the newsroom reference. And I was in the ad sales marketing group and running the in-house brand content studio called Courageous. And we created all sorts of branded content through the lens of like journalistic storytelling for CNN's global advertisers. I learned a ton about the sales world and the kind of media and integrated marketing space in a giant media company. And that is what truly prepared me for this role now, Chief Marketing Officer at National Cinemedia. We are the largest cinema advertising platform in the US. We connect brands at scale with sought after audiences through the power of movies and pop culture. So it's kind of a full circle role for me. And we're all about, you know, working with advertisers to get them in the show that you mentioned. You may have gone to the movies, seen Maria Menounos welcoming all of the moviegoers with editorial content, branded commercial content, and sort of that entertaining experience leading up to the trailers, and then the kind of a dream together, whether it's the ad sales marketing solutions, the PR, the events, the content, the talent, the media piece, you name it. So I've been here about 2 years and really excited to see what's next on the movie scene.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I want to jump in straight into the conversation around interruptive advertising versus branded content and delivering more of a branded experience in this captive audience that you guys have during the pre-show for the movies. So, you know, it seems like the cinema experience is kind of a little bit all over the board. You know, sometimes you'll go to a certain type of theater and they won't have any kind of a pre-show. It's the type of situation where you reserve your seats ahead of time, and really the only thing that you see before the movie starts is the movie trailers. Mm-hmm. And then you have other types of theater experiences which do have the newbies, and it has all sorts of interactive components. You know, you can download apps and play games and do surveys. And what I've really appreciated about that experience is that, you know, I'm a hardcore cinema fan. I was a film major at UCSB. Like you, I went to Hollywood, not to get into advertising originally, but to get into the entertainment industry, and did the, you know, the MBA of the entertainment industry and worked in the mailroom at ICM. But really, I love movies, and I have to have a good seat. So I go early just to make sure I have a good seat. But yeah, you know, the old experience of like just getting exposed to, you know, ads and then waiting for the trailers kind of sucked. But now there's a really interesting pre-show that, you know, incorporates the celebrities, and, you know, it's kind of behind the scenes stuff of what's going on the sets of films, and then like branded content, you know, stuff that's made by advertisers, but it's more kind of relevant and adjacent to like a cinema going audience, which is like, you know, maybe like a film that's brought to you by Coca-Cola or a film that's brought to you by a cool car company. Can you talk about why it's been important for this type of advertising channel to kind of move away from that traditional interruptive advertising experience and really move into this branded content experience that you guys have created with Newbie, that's really meant to inform and entertain and educate the audience while they're, you know, giving you 30 minutes of their attention before the real show starts?
Yeah, thanks. Hey, are you on our sales team? Because you love that. Thank you for that. Yeah, so Newbie, as I mentioned, this is what NCM, we program, we produce, we sell to advertisers. But my goal as a CMO is to make it very entertaining to the movie going audience, and also, you know, contextually relevant for the brands that are putting, you know, their name, their content, their creativity on the big immersive 50-foot screen. When you talk about interruptive, I can guarantee you completed views if you're sitting mm-hmm. in the cinema. There's no skip button.
Yeah, right.
You're actually told to put your phone away. You buy a ticket, so it's almost like the last appointment viewing available to consumers today. As we all know, when everybody's watching a show on Netflix, they're not watching it all at the same time, and they're certainly not talking about it all at the same time. Whereas, you know, when you're excited for Barbie or the Taylor Swift mm-hmm. Eras Tour concert film coming out, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's going to see it over the course of the set, you know, periods of weeks. But in terms of the branded content and the opportunity, this is really why I joined this company, which mm-hmm. is to help brands understand the storytelling opportunity with an audience that is so young, so diverse, so hard to reach at scale anywhere else. And not only that, but they're paying attention. We actually have done all sorts of research in terms of the attention metrics of cinema versus these other fragmented media channels that this young, diverse audience is, you know, looking at every day, whether it's Facebook or YouTube or, you know, CTV channels. And in cinema, they're paying 5 to 7 times more attention to the ads and the content than they are anywhere else, which is amazing. And we've got the data to back it up. We did a great study with Lumen Technologies as part of our NCMX data platform. But beyond the audience, the storytelling and the content is really where it's at. And for me, Newbie gives a lot of opportunities for brands to get in there, as you said, side by side with our high quality editorial content. We're not just movies, we're pop culture. We're telling stories in fashion, in gaming, in sports, in food, in travel. And we're looking for brands, whether they're going to produce that content themselves or with their agency partners, or they'd like our help to do it, to use this immersive, unique screen to do that and engage that audience at scale when they're paying attention. I think this is an untapped opportunity. You'd think so many brands must be doing this. They are investing in longer form content, documentaries, episodic content. And what I'm hoping is that they see cinema as that ultimate distribution platform where it becomes an exclusive place for people to kind of engage with their form of storytelling. Branded content is that buzzword that's been going around for decades, and it still feels like people don't understand it. So the more we can educate and share with them the different places that it can live and the places that brands, that consumers can engage with it, the better. Plus, we can throw a QR code on and drive them to see the longer form piece if they only want to put 60 seconds on the big screen. So hope that answers.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you probably wouldn't see a long form branded documentary there, but you could do some excerpts and then drive them to an additional audience, behind.
You know what? We could do anything. We control that inventory. So if a brand comes in, we actually have had some examples. I believe it was the Chipotle campaign from several years back with the animated longer form, four or 5 minute pieces. They bought out Noovie because they wanted that cinematic experience where it felt like you were going to see the Chipotle documentary before you went to go see the feature. So we can do anything. We can also do private screening events and really make it feel like it's a premiere of a branded content piece, or let's even call it a brand funded documentary. It doesn't even have to be fully branded. It can be anything you want, but there's a lot of ways to leverage this platform and tell that story, no matter what the length. I'd say most of our clients are going for 30s and 60s. I'm trying to get 90s and 2.5 minutes. And I know all those creatives out there love their long form piece. So let's get it on the big screen.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm actually thinking of a client that we work with, Firestone Breweries, that does a lot of like longer form documentaries. And they're always looking for ways to, where can you show these films outside of a digital, whether it's experiential or something like that. So that's cool to know that it's not just the pre-show inventory, but you guys can build experiential activations and really give, because let's face it, like every branded documentary, especially if it's not long form, it's not going to get it's not guaranteed to get picked up and put on Netflix, right? Like a lot of this stuff is, it's great marketing, but it's not at a level of which, you're going to get into like a long form streaming platform. Like some do, but it's nice to know that you guys have an additional way not only to, get exposure for the content for those advertisers, but also to build like a kind of that traditional cinema going, premiere style rollout from an eventization piece would be interesting too.
Totally. And just on note on experiential, that is like, I'm hoping brands that are really leaning into this. I mean, we know, Nike has the Waffle Iron Studio. Like there's a lot of these companies that are really investing in these kind of longer form documentary style storytelling. If they can premiere that in cinema and they can go through us to do that, we can create that eventized, culturally relevant moment, as you were just saying. Also on the experiential front, we do lobby activations. We reach those moviegoers before and after. We can target them, as I said earlier, whether it's a QR code and we know they're going right to the Fireside Brewery down the block after, so we can follow up on that later. The idea of going to the movies, you mentioned earlier, they would buy their reserve tickets and they just show up right before the trailer. That's not what we're finding. People still see the movies as a major shared experience. They're buying a ticket. They're not just showing up right beforehand. They're going, they're hanging out with their friends, they're getting their popcorn. They want it to be a really fun, memorable way that they spend their time and money. We also know a lot of data about them. For instance, 40% of people that go to the movies go dining right after. So they've got huge spending power, and there's just a lot of ways to engage this audience, as I said, before and after, whether it's in the lobby, obviously on the screen, and then down the road in follow-up retargeted communications.
So cool. So in an interview recently with Clio, you had a quote, the evolution of entertainment marketing that exists excites you, and it's simply that every year more brands embrace storytelling campaigns that infuse their values into their messaging. Can you talk a little bit more about why branded entertainment needs to speak to corporate values and kind of that philanthropic arm of marketing versus maybe, just more of a traditional campaign?
Yeah, I mean, I think over the last, I'd say, 5 years, it feels like there's more chief purpose officers, chief inclusivity officers. There's more commitment from major marketers to, you know, walk the walk. And that is now trickling down into their creative messaging because they know that that resonates in particular with this Gen Z audience that do place more value on brands that, you know, align with what they care about. So when we look at the world of longer form storytelling, this is a natural place for brands to kind of lean into and play. Actually, a company that throws a wonderful trademarking event called the Brand Storytelling Conference. They do this at Sundance every year. Like the amazing longer form content that is put forth by brands that, you know, now you think about it, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, Yeti is telling a really powerful story. Or Amazon, they're telling a story about how they're helping communities. And then, you know, there's more obvious brands like the UN that are kind of telling the history of how that came to be. But there's a lot of brands that are committed to this. And I do think they don't know where the distribution opportunities lie to put those out there. But it's powerful and it resonates. And actually, when I was at Gray, one of my final things that I did there was I helped produce the Gray Centennial, 100 years of an ad agency. And I was pitching really hard. I wasn't able to sell this. But, you know, Mad Men had just wrapped up a couple of years prior. There was nothing in the entertaining marketplace around advertising and the power. And there was so much sort of curiosity around this itching Gray to do a documentary around the history of advertising and the future, the next 100 years, through the lens, of course, of our, you know, brand message at the time, Famously Effective. And I just knew it wouldn't just be a story for a story's sake. And maybe, you know, maybe we could get it on Netflix or one of those streamers, but it would be a recruiting tool. It would be, you know, a brand performance tool. It would help with measurement of, like, you know, brand love and some of those attributions that are attributes, I should say, that brands, including agencies, care about. So we didn't get that one off the ground. But I do think that the values piece is critical. And there's a lot of agencies and experts now popping up that can advise brands who don't really have that ESG or that philanthropy muscle, and they need it because it's really important to their consumers.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And it's interesting, you know, we'll maybe talk about the writer's strike a little bit later and the the impact of what that's going to look like for the content pipeline. Hopefully not too impactful, but I noticed Mad Men is trending on the top 100 most download shows on iTunes again. And I actually have been spending time revisiting it because it's just such a, you know, fun show to watch when you've been in the industry. Yeah, I love that idea. Maybe there's a coalition of agencies that can revisit that in the future.
Yeah, we you know, we do a bad job in advertising of shining the light on our own shameful area of the industry, but it's, we should be proud. And there really is an inherent curiosity in this. People, you know, used to talk about celebrities who sell out, and that's not a story anymore. You know, right. Everybody is a brand. And respects it. And so we have to all do a better job of propping that up and making it full. No one is as offended by ads as I think they used to, unless it's done poorly, of course. But we don't have any of those ads on our screen.
Right, of course, yeah. Cool. Quality is important. cool. Well, I also read recently that NCM is expanding the Newbie Pre-Show into other out-of-home venues. This includes supermarket kiosks, elevators. How important is it that you guys expand to other screens, but also keep your affiliation with that cinema audience core to your DNA? How do you scale, but also, you know, be able to continue to play upon the brand equity of that movie going audience?
Yeah, sure. Actually, so NCM spent a couple of years, a lot of it during COVID, when the movie theaters were closed and we had to pivot. We did two things. One was we were expanding our digital out-of-home platform and network. We still have quite a few screens. We're on ATM TV in 7-Elevens. We're in college campuses. And, you know, I think the world of digital out-of-home has really kind of caught people's attention. And now there's more focus on this and more investment in this, in particular because you can buy it programmatically. And that's one of the things we're doing is we actually just announced a couple months ago, our beta launch for programmatic, not only in digital at home, but also on the big screen, which is going to be a game changer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we, you know, I mentioned earlier NCMX, which is our kind of unrivaled moviegoer data intelligence platform, and it really makes us more, it enhances marketers' ability to kind of target, measure, and drive business results. And I think one of the reasons digital out of home and the idea of being on multiple screens is kind of rising, as I said, is because it's more targetable and more measurable than ever. And that's something that we're doing within the cinema space, both on our main movie-going screen as well as the other screens that we access. So, you know, I would just say that this is an area that we're continuing to explore as opportunities for diversification and expansion. And we also retarget after you see the ad. And that's part of how we are able to measure foot traffic or website hits or, you know, various KPIs. Even for pharma companies, we're able to measure how many people went and got a prescription after seeing the ad in cinema. And that's all because of digital retargeting, whether it's on, you know, at a home screen or that mobile screen, right, you know, in their pocket the minute they walk out of the theater. So it's a huge important area for us, and we, you know, continue to keep an eye on all the players in the space.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And it seems like, you know, that's such a huge thing is, you know, how do you bring sophistication and data and measurement to some of these channels that are maybe considered a traditional channel like radio or TV or out of home? And, you know, theater is the theater experience is probably an example of that. So how do you do that exactly? Is it data that's provided from the movie theaters that's based on ticket sales? Is it geolocation data based on knowing people that go into like a, you know, geofenced movie theater pin drop on a map? Like, what are the mechanisms that you guys collect the data, and how is that leveraged then to build out some of these customized audiences?
Yeah, that's great. So NCMX, that's the name of our data intelligence platform, and it does transform cinema into a medium that's both brand building and performance metrics driven. The data, we basically have one of the largest deterministic and probabilistic data sets of the US movie going audience, and it integrates into the premium video planning and analytics tools that we leverage. The data sources are from first, second, and third party sources. And a lot of those are exclusive to us. It's about 90 million plus unique records. So there's purchase data, there's location-based device IDs, as you suggested, there's loyalty card data. This is all that we have access to, and it helps us understand exactly who is sitting in that theater for that title at that time of day in that market, et cetera. And so, you know, we're giving the media buyers an opportunity, and in particular with our new programmatic launch, for efficient data-driven trading of sort of the highest quality inventory in the marketplace. But we're also doing direct deals with advanced pre-planning insights, custom segment matching, activation, cross-portfolio measurement. All of this, the beauty of it is, of course, it's 100% human viewed impressions. We know it's all humans sitting in those seats. So no bots, no fraud. So that's something that we're really happy that when we talk about the data, these are real people, and it's insights that we have from actual moviegoers. So there's a lot of mystery and a lot of discussion around ad fraud in the digital industry. It's huge. It continues to be covered in the media. I don't think a lot of people are really like quite understanding the depth of that situation, but yeah, they will. And so we're proud to be a brand safe, you know, source of data and targeting in this kind of crazy world.
That's awesome. So do you have any insight into how badly the writer's strike will impact the content of films that will be coming into theaters? Does that have any major impact on, you know, what types of, I mean, I'm sure there's some impact, but you can definitely feel it in the TV space. Like, we've been watching a lot of reruns for a while. Like, is that going to create a like kind of a slow period at all because of the writer's strike in movie theaters?
Well, the good thing is the writer's strike is over.
Yes.
And, you know, we were all very hopeful that they would come to resolution in the fall. So good thing that happened. for us, it was not that big an impact on the movie slate situation. There were a handful of titles that shifted out of Q4 2023 to 24. And I think that was mainly a marketing call because the writers and a lot of the talent, of course, with the actors, were not able to promote those films in the same way. But so much was already in the can with the writers. You know, a lot of the production may have halted, but, you know, the work had been done. And it's they're back. So from a movie going standpoint, it's been minimal impact. Now on TV, it's a much bigger impact. And you're going to see a lot of reality shows if you're not already watching.
Yeah, a lot of reality shows for a bit. Nice. Cool. Well, I want to take a little bit of a pivot to some of the to the space that you and I have collaborated in the past, which is the influencer marketing world. And it seems like you guys have taken a really creative and proactive approach to leveraging digital talent and kind of bringing them into the world of cinematic movie advertising, leveraging influencers for content, leveraging influencers for, you know, hosts and or ambassadors in the newbie pre-show. Can you just talk a little bit about your strategy in and around creator marketing and influencer marketing and how you're trying to leverage the creator economy and blending that into the work that you guys are doing?
Yeah, sure. Sorry. A little bit of a connection issue. I hope you can
hear me. A little lag.
I've been here. Oh, can you hear me? You okay?
Yeah, we're good.
All right. Okay, good. Sorry about that. We've been working with a variety of talent. I've been here about 2 years. And I, you know, one of my goals was, we absolutely love Maria Menounos. She's the host of our pre-show. She's, you know, fantastic and a really talented professional. But we also wanted to diversify the talent, mainly to be reflective of the diverse movie-going audiences and also to bring in some more pop culture and sort of, you know, more down-home content, essentially creators that can work with brands that we're working with and also just have, you know, really compelling content that would work well for the big screen and then offer exposure for those influencers and creators. Some of the talent that we've brought in, most of them are, you know, have some expertise in the movie going or pop culture space. And we integrated them into shows that we had developed, original series. So for instance, one of our series was called Newbieverse. It was all about the DC Comics and Marvel superhero films that are releasing that create a ton of buzz on social platforms. One of the talent we work with is named Juju Green. He's actually kind of blown up. He kind of started as a creator, an influencer, and now he's on red carpets. But you know, he would kind of create a piece of content for us that pontificated about the myths and rumors of, you know, the next Marvel film coming out. And we would kind of integrate that into our show as sort of a point of view from an expert creator. We're also working with talent that is featured in our cultural celebration segments. We have a variety of influencers that represent the LGBTQ plus audience or that are featured in our Hispanic Heritage Month celebration content. In that, we've worked with an awesome guy named Tropical Joe, who comes out and he's got a ton of energy and he talks about his background and his heritage and how it's relevant for, you know, some of the Hispanic directors and on-screen talent that we're celebrating today. So we've been really trying to diversify. One of the things is we're always open to talent ideas. So if you're looking to be on the big screen, reach out through our newbie social handles and let us know. We like to do the value exchange. You know, even the giant, you know, Charlie D'Amato's of the world that have the biggest followings, they still want a TV show or they want to be in the movies, right? There's a legitimacy to what is that traditional media, if you will, and that has that cred. And so to put those people on the 50-foot screen on 20,000 movie screens nationwide with their handle right there among a Gen Z audience is extraordinarily valuable exposure for the talent. So it's really a great value exchange. Of course, if we have brands involved, you know, we're making sure everybody gets paid, but we are really committed to kind of, again, engaging with creators in unique ways. And if anyone has ideas about how we can do this more, please let me know.
I love it. So I also noticed that you are a founding member of an organization called Chief, which exists to help, from what I can research, female executives kind of get a leg up in their careers, mentoring. Can you talk about why that's important? And it sounds like NCM has really made a concerted effort to make sure that their board and their leadership team is representative with a lot of female executives. So can you just talk a little bit about that and why it's important?
Yeah, thank you. Chief is an incredible women's professional network. I've been a part of this since the beginning. A founding member means you joined within the first 6 months. And I was in the New York chapter, which was the first chapter that opened. It's one of those unicorn startups that's just exploded over the last few years. And it's extremely valuable in terms of their vision, which is let's get more females into the C-suite and prepare more women to kind of break through that glass ceiling, which seemingly never goes away. They have other resources for C-suite members, like how to get on a board. They bring in incredible speakers. I mean, Michelle Obama and Diane von Furstenberg, and I mean, wow. Stacey Abrams. I mean, it's like Jane Fonda, the list goes on and on. But the main reason that I think it's important, and I love that it's doing so well, is that, you know, no matter what you want to say about, you know, groups of people kind of banding together, women need other women to be kind and nice and supportive and help them rise up. The struggle is so real. And I think that, you know, we've made major progress, but yet if you look at like the VC space, still only like a ton of money is given to, you know, female owned startups. And as much as I, you know, love that NCM has elevated me into the C-suite and does have other, you know, senior leaders, it's still few and far between. I still look around, not just at my company, but in the industry, and I'm still always like, oh, okay, they have a woman, thank God. And I'll just say, you know, cinema is a pretty old school industry. I mean, it's 100 years more than that old. And so it takes a long time for change to happen in industries where there's just so much institutional knowledge, but also just the way the network has gone. And so women need to help other women break through, and we need to be kind to each other and share what we can. And companies like Chief are not just helping individuals, but also other companies understand the critical nature and how it leads to better business outcomes if you have a more diverse staff, including females at the table.
So. Yeah, I love that. So we're getting down to the final stretch here. What has you most excited about the future in your role with NCM?
Sure. One of the most amazing assets that we have here is that in addition to being, you know, the largest cinema advertising platform, we are also in this unique role as the U.S. representative to the Cannes Lions International Festival of Creativity. Cannes Lions is, you know, maybe the most prestigious advertising festival and awards in the world. And this role as US rep allows us to engage with the entire creative and advertising and marketing and media and PR and digital community, whether it's agencies, brands, tech platforms, media companies. And so I get to personally talk about how we support Cannes Lions, and everybody kind of, it's like this wonderful, amazing, but also somewhat mysterious brand, like, how do you get to that festival in the south of France? How do you get on that stage? How do you get on a jury? How do you get an award? You know, and so one of the things I'm most excited about at NCM is continuing to lean into this asset that we have. I'm personally passionate about it because with my background at Gray, we won awards and I was able to get to Cannes on that side, and now I'm there on a different side. But it's such an untapped, powerful community. We were talking about this earlier. Advertising creative brains of this can do so much good. This is, we run the Young Lions competition, which is for the 30 and unders. It's the next generation to lean into all the things that Cannes Lions is doing and how, and just growing awareness and more kind of respect and engagement within the advertising industry.
Yeah, I love that. I got to go to my first Cannes, not last year, but the year before, the one right after COVID. And I was like, hey, you know, we didn't get to do this for 2 years, so I have to do it now in case it goes away again in the future. So really amazing experience, just so inspiring. And yeah, definitely seeing all the young lions out there getting this once in a lifetime opportunity and trip to expand their portfolios, their network, learn from some of the most creative minds in our industry globally is awesome. So that's an amazing partnership and super exciting.
Yeah, it's career defining, I think, for those young people to just open your mind to what could be. So yeah, it's been fun. And also getting more brands, doing branded content on the big screen. That's my main day job, I would say.
Awesome. Well, Amy, you've been an epic guest. So awesome whenever we get an opportunity to connect and spend time with you. Enjoy watching your career and excited to continue to keep an eye on what you guys are doing over at NCM. So thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. And for those watching at home, you know, if you got value out of this episode, please consider subscribing or liking us on LinkedIn or wherever you're listening to this show. Go ahead and give us a follow so you can tune into future episodes, or share this with a colleague who you think would get some value from it. So thanks again, Amy. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Dylan. It was great.